This is Ken Holman, and today joining me on this podcast is Janelle Turhar. And Janelle, it's great to chat with you. And it reiterates why we do this. We're people taking care of people. I always have kind of a theme that runs in my head. And my theme for our conversation was called faith and family. I don't know if there's anything more important to an individual than their family and their faith. So that's all I'm going to say is, who's Janelle Turhar? And how does faith and family align with your work in healthcare? And the floor is yours. So thank you again, Janelle. And how do you make sense of what I just asked you?
Hi, Ken. Thanks for having me. Well, faith and family is kind of the base of what we do. And it's every day that I come to work, I kind of look at it like I'm just one mom helping another, because it's kind of the reality of it. If you come in and you're sick and you don't have time to be sick because you're a mom, or you come in and your kid's sick, or if you come in because your kid hasn't slept all night because they have an ear infection. That's kind of how I look at it. I look at it like I'm just one mom helping another. And if it's helping their parents or their siblings or whatever it is. And that's kind of how I base my overall practice. And a lot of times I'll tell people, you know, if you were my dad or if you were my brother, this is how I would treat you, and this is what I would say to you. I have a very strong faith in God. I have had that for years. I first gave my life to Jesus in Iraq when I was there on a two-year tour. I know that you can find Jesus here in the United States. I wish somebody would have told me that. Just kidding. But yeah, so I joke to people that I found Jesus in Iraq, which is funny. But I was on a deployment. I was with the Red Bulls, and I was there when President Bush did the troop surge. And so we stayed stagnant when our replacements came to increase the troops by 5,000. So that was kind of a very taxing time in my life. And throughout that, I just really kind of, I grew up Catholic, and I, went to religion, and I knew Bible verses and stuff, but I never really had a really strong relationship with God. And, when you're in a position like being in Iraq and, being fearful of your life and not having daily contact with your family and not being able to go to your mom's on Sunday or do those things, it really humbles a person, and it makes you really kind of dig deep to what's important, which is exactly what you said, Ken, is faith and family.
Janelle, we're gonna come back to faith in a minute, but let's talk a bit more about family. We know that you're in Iraq. Well, we know that you're married. We know that you have kids. You're a mom. You work in Long Prairie. So, who is Janelle, and what's your story that gets you to providing care and caring for your family, but also your patients? So, who's Janelle? Where do you come from? What makes you tick?
I'm a mother of three girls. I'm married to a wonderful man that's very supportive. I think everybody in healthcare kind of needs to have, a really supportive person in their life. That's kind of my purpose. That's, everything. You look at if your kids are happy and, your husband's happy and things at home are going well, it just kind of makes everything good. So, the reason that I care for people and do things that I'm doing is it's because I do it on a daily basis, and I see the struggle maybe that other people have. And I am grateful enough to have an education to understand a lot of the physical background and mental health background. And it's something that, I want to be able to give to other people. I want to be able to show that to other people. If there's tricks that I've learned with my kids, I've had those phone calls where it's like, oh, your daughter can't focus in school. We're worried about this, and I've been that mom on that side. And it's awful to have somebody else tell you that there's something wrong with your child that you try to raise and be perfect. I've been that mom. And to be able to educate moms that maybe have teachers saying that, and to be able to be that support system and to be able to provide the medical care that they may need and the support, I feel privileged to be able to do.
You mentioned your schooling and your education. So where'd you grow up and where'd you go to school?
Yeah, I grew up in Opal. It's a very small town next to Holdingford. I went to school there my whole life. When I, between my junior and senior year, I joined the National Guard. you know, my parents were divorced. So, you know, there wasn't a lot of structure in my life, and there was a little bit of dysfunction with, you know, divorced parents and going kind of back and forth. And so I was looking for a little more structure and routine. So I joined the military and I went to basic training in Missouri, Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, between my junior and senior year. My senior year, you know, I think it was 3 days after I graduated, I left for my job training for the military. Right when I got back from that, I moved up to Duluth and I did 2 semesters of college. And then I was activated to Operation Iraqi Freedom shortly after that. So I was about 19 and I came back when I was almost 22 with that long deployment. So, you know, it was something that I did when I was very young. And then I started my nursing school. I think it was a week after I got home from Iraq. So I started, you know, I kind of slowly moved up. I, you know, did my nursing assistant while I was in high school, and then I did my LPN and my 2-year RN, and then I did my 4-year, and then I did my graduate. As I kind of progressed in my schooling, it was kind of, you know, like, I'm never going to school again. And then, you know, I felt like God put it on my heart again. And it's like, come on, really? Like, I'm never going to school again, you know? And then my husband's like, okay, that's it. I'm never going to believe you. So I know there's always going to be more schooling, and I, you know, like, cause I'd be like, okay, once I graduate this time, it's going to be done, you know? And then he's like, I think it was after my 4-year, he's like, you know, I just don't even believe you when you say that anymore.
Well, it just, it shows the determination that's in Janelle and your commitment to be of service. And it kind of ties back into your faith. So if you don't mind, we're going to segue back into faith. And as you have looked at your role in Long Prairie, whether it's COVID or preventative health, you know, high blood pressure amongst the farming community is high. And how has Janelle approached preventative health measures with your patient population? And how's that conversation gone? Because sometimes people of faith have different interpretations of what their faith is telling them. We clearly heard your message about what you felt you heard in your conversations. How do you have conversations with patients about their faith and their healthcare?
I think that it overlaps, and there's 2 different sides of the health and faith, I think. I think that there's people that live based solely on their faith, 100%. And, you know, that, you know, with COVID, God will heal me, God will protect me, and that's where I'm going to be, which I see a lot of. I don't see that in my clinic, but I see that in my community where it's, you know, God is, you know, a healer of all. And then there's the people that believe that God created these preventions and created the intelligence of people to be able to create the vaccine and the medications and the, you know, so there's 2 kind of sides of it. And it's the people that I see in my clinic room and the people that come to me in the community are people that believe in the interventions, that, you know, they believe in God and they believe that God will protect them, but they also believe that God is putting these interventions in place to help them. So it's for instance, my name kind of got out in the community of truck drivers recently, which I am so grateful that they're entrusting me with my advice and my knowledge. So I had a conversation with a local truck driver recently because he wanted to consult with somebody that he knew personally and trusted, and just wanted to know about the COVID vaccine and what he could do to be healthy and what he could do to protect his family. And it was a conversation I think I had for probably a 2-hour conversation. And we kind of talked about the benefits and the risks and, you know, you need in life and what's important and what you can do to protect yourself, and that you can't control people around you on what they're going to do. You can't control if they're going to be sitting next to you with COVID. You don't know that. And so how do you provide protection for yourself so that you can still be a full-time dad and be a full-time truck driver and, you know, provide for your wife? How can we do that? And what can we put in place? And, you know, I was able to kind of talk through the different fears and the things that maybe are making him resistant. Ultimately, I was able to kind of have a discussion with him. His wife, who is a local bar owner, both decided to get vaccinated for COVID because of that conversation I had. You know, later that day, I got a text message saying, hey, you don't know me, but I got your number from, you know, this person. And do you have time to talk to me about the vaccine? So then the next day, you know, I still live, you know, about an hour from work. So, you know, the next day, my whole hour drive, you know, I had this conversation, same conversation with him. You know, I believe in God and I believe God will protect me, but I also think that God's giving us the resource of this vaccine. And I think kind of talking through the, what is making you scared about this and what are you questioning about it and what are your worries about this and how can we make it so that, because this man was a single dad, so how do we make it so that you can provide for your kids and not miss work and what is the best opportunity for that? You know, and ultimately I had that hour long conversation and he also decided to get vaccinated for COVID. You know, so it's something that people are wanting to know about it, but it's in the world that we live in, it's so political. It's people want to have complete independence of their healthcare. They want to be able to say when and where and how I'm going to do this. I feel like people that are on the other side of this feel like that's being taken or robbed from them. So how do we educate these people and just let them know it's not being robbed from you. We just want you to make a good choice. We just want you to protect the people around you. It's something that we just want the best for our community. When smallpox came out, you know, and that vaccine came out, you know, everybody gathered their kids up and their brothers and sisters and they went and got vaccinated. You know, everybody just did that. And as a result, you know, our older generation has been vaccinated and our younger ones haven't. And the reason is because the vaccine works. There wasn't blogs and there wasn't all of these opinions and all of this stuff around that made people's opinions be deviated. It was just, hey, we know what is in this vaccine. We know how it's going to work. We know what it's going to do to your antibodies. And we know it's going to prevent this. These are facts. These are 100% facts. It's like making, you know, if my daughter wants to make sugar cookies tonight, it is a fact. It is a fact of what we're putting in those sugar cookies. We know the recipe. We're going to put it in the oven. And the expectation is that I'm going to be able to take out a cookie that I'm going to eat. Those are facts. That is what we mean when we say the science of the vaccine. That's what we mean. We know what's in it. We know the body's response. We know what's going to happen. That's the science of the vaccine. And I think that's, you know, another thing that people kind of are, oh, what is the science? Is that studies? Is that a group of people with their opinions? No, it's what we know. It's the recipe of the cookies and what we're expecting to get out. And I'm going to tell you, Ken, every single person that has reached out to me that got COVID, you know, recently, you know what? The first thing they say is, I didn't know it was going to be this bad. Why didn't they tell us it was going to be this bad? And I'm like, where have you been? You know, but that's what everybody thinks. It's like, is it real? Is it really? And, you know, I understand that if you don't see it on a day-to-day basis, I kind of experienced that when I was on maternity leave. I didn't see it. I wasn't around it. I didn't go by people. I was in my small little bubble. And if you don't see it, it's hard to know that it exists, right? I think that it's my ultimate goal is to educate people, to help them so that they know and let them know that I'm doing the same thing. You know, I'm doing the same thing. I'm eating salads for lunch. Do I struggle with sugar? Yes, I do. I'm living the same world. I'm not, you know, somebody that, you know, comes in this perfect little box and I'm like, oh, okay, we're going to have health and wellness and that's what we're going to do. No, I struggle. My kids have temper tantrums in Target. We're living the same life. And we are doing the same thing, you know, like let's do life together and figure out the easiest way we can do it, right? Let's not do life hard. Let's do life easy.
There were three things that you said, Janelle, just in a very straightforward way. Number one is that we are our brothers and sisters keepers, aren't we?
Yes.
And the second thing you mentioned was is the sense of personal accountability for our behaviors related to healthcare. And the third is paying attention to the science, the real science, and not get distracted by voices and stuff elsewhere. So, boy, that was a great, great threads to bring up. I want to go somewhere else. This goes back to family now, because they're growing up in the middle of a pandemic that the U.S. and the world hasn't seen since, for a century. What do you think your kids will say when they are 18, 19, 20, 35? What has their experience been as a mother of three girls, where, and the kids are very impressionable, and it's impacted, you know, school and masking and all, distance learning, all that. What do you think your kids are going to say? What do you, as a mom, what are you doing to help them?
As a parent, I live my life very, you know, these are the rules and we're going to follow them. And my kids, you know, get vaccinated, and, you know, we've always done that. It's something that we've done since they've been babies. And it's something that I think that I'm hoping that their perspective, that's one thing that I'm trying as a mother, is to protect them from the people that have anger about it and the people that are mad about it, or the people that think that people are just being sheep and they're following and they're not being independent thinkers. And that is a really, really good question, Ken. And it's very deep, because as a mom, there's been places I have not been taking my children because I don't want them exposed to certain people that are angry about it. And it's the way we approach it. You know, my girls, there's some kids at school where you can tell their parents are very like, oh, I'm not wearing a mask, that's dumb, you know? And I just look at my girls and I'm like, it's the rules, just follow the rules. And now, you know, my girls, we've been in school for 2 weeks and they both had strep throat already. And I'm like, look, last year you wore masks and you didn't have any, you know, you weren't sick the whole year, you know, and now you can't swallow. It makes a difference. It really does. I'm hoping that this is not something that really sticks out in their childhood. I'm hoping it's something that if somebody asks them about it, they can say, yep, we lived our lives through that. And it was cool because my mom was home for maternity leave and we got to, you know what I mean? I'm hoping that it's a good, positive thing, and they don't, because we don't watch the news and we don't get into the politicals of it. I'm hoping that their innocence is not robbed through this.
Boy, Janelle, that was marvelous. This notion of childhood innocence and having an experience that they can grow on, but yet being exposed to some of the ugliness of the world is challenging as a parent. I want to finish, Janelle, by going back to faith. You mentioned your life-defining experience in Iraq. And so if there was a particular framework that Janelle, it could be a parable, it could be a story from the Bible, it could be an experience in rock that defines Janelle's faith, I'd love to hear it.
In our house, we 100% do not do anything without praying about it and without feeling like we have God's grace on it. And it's something that, you know, my one-year-old, I have a one-year-old at home and she prays. You know, every time we sit down, she like has her hands together and she can say amen. It's something that it's completely ingrained 100% in our lives. I just want my girls to know, like, God is first, 100%, you know, and it's something that I wake up in the morning, and usually when we come outside, you know, I say a prayer over my girls before they go to school. And I'm like, man, God is good. If I see a beautiful sunset, I just, you know, I'm like, praise the Lord. How good is this? This is awesome. And it's something that I'm not a perfect Christian. You know, I do, you know, curse every once in a while. But like I tell my girls, you know, if they're judging somebody, once you're perfect, you can judge people. And, you know, my seven-year-old's always like, Mom, nobody's perfect. Only Jesus is perfect. And it's like, that's right, girlfriend. So don't be judging people, right? So to define my faith, it's who I am. It's who I'm raising my children to rely on.
Well, for our listeners that have been listening, we've been joined today by Janelle Terhar from Long Prairie, nurse clinician. And I'll share a closing story as well, Janelle. It is our tradition in our family to hold hands as we do grace. And I think that for many of us, the thing that have kept us going through COVID in the last 19 months is this notion of holding hands. And so I'd like to thank you for your holding the hands of your colleagues in Long Prairie and your patients in Long Prairie, as well as the greater body of CentraCare. So again, thanks for your comments today, your wiseness beyond years, and our conversation about faith and family. Thank you, Janelle.
Thank you for having me, Ken.